Welcome to episode 106 of Frank Reactions, the podcast where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Tamma Frank. A few months ago, I had a conversation with Jeff Polovic, who is the founder of The Driving Force, which is a very successful car and truck rental, leasing, and sales agency with some 34 locations, mostly in Western and Northern Canada. The company has repeatedly been listed as one of Canada's 50 best managed companies, and it now has about 600 employees. Jeff has always believed that the company must treat its employees right if it wants to be able to count on them treating customers right. We had a fascinating, rambling conversation that went on for about an hour and a half, which is way too long to expect you to listen to. I have cut it down to a few highlights that I think are particularly relevant to the Frank Reactions podcast focus on customer experience, and of course the employee experience that ties into that. We started by talking about the importance of employee satisfaction surveys and how the results helped guide his business. So let's get straight into the interview, and I'll chat with you briefly at the end of it.
Our employee satisfaction.
Yeah.
And what that was, that became the guideline for all of the direction that we took as far as an organization, plus even from a department standpoint. We did it anonymously because I didn't feel that I wanted to know what the answers were from mm-hmm. everyone. So, for example, if you have a department and there's 14 people in the department, and let's say you've got 12 of those people who are really happy, really satisfied, mm-hmm. and you got two who are really upset, I mean, who's got the problem? I mean, mm-hmm. is it a personality conflict between management, or do you have two people who just are doing something they don't want to be there?
Right.
And I stood up in meetings and said, listen, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, either you should talk to your supervisor or come and talk to me, because if you're this unhappy, you need to do something different.
Absolutely.
You know, so either talk to your supervisor or come talk to me, and we'll help you find something else. And maybe it's not in this company.
And what sort of reactions did you get to that? Did
people were shocked that I would say that.
You know, really?
Yeah, because I said, well, you're not doing anybody any good. You know, you've all heard the expression, you know, the rotten apple in the barrel spoils the whole barrel. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? You're a cancer here. It's mm-hmm. just not working out. So either we've got to do something to improve your job, or we have to improve or find some other place for you, or you need to leave.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody is a good fit for every job.
Right. So how can you possibly satisfy and exceed customers' expectations if you're not doing the same thing for your customers? It's the chicken.
For your employees,
eat.
Yeah.
And so from my standpoint, it was always about, let's make sure we got satisfied employees and that we're doing everything we can to make their job easier to exceed our customers' expectations and measure it.
Did you get that right from the beginning? I mean, when you started the company, yeah.
Do you know what? The moments of truth sort of hit me with, there was a Scandinavian airline, I forget which one it was. Mm-hmm. It might have been a Swedish line or a Norwegian line, and I can't remember what it was. But it was, he talked about those moments of truth where you run across situations, you have a long relationship with a customer, but there are key points when the customer is forming an opinion on whether he wants to be with you.
Yeah.
So then I took that and I'm going, yeah, no, that all makes sense. But then I said, well, yeah, that's great, but how can you possibly deal with those moments of truth if you're not looking after your people that are providing those, or are yeah. engaged in that moment of truth?
Right.
And so that was the part that you know, I said, look, let's figure out the thing that we can measure from our standpoint. So we did it once a year, and we did it over a period of years, and we refined it. So we finally got it down to 26 questions.
Okay.
And every year we asked the 26 questions, and every year you would measure, are you gaining, are you losing, or whatever. And we didn't go out, there's so many surveys that are out there, 1 to 10, you know, mm-hmm. 1 is bad, 10 is good.
Right.
So we said, okay, either we're exceeding your expectations, we're meeting them, or we're failing, or we really pissed you off.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we assign points to every one of those answers, because okay. you should get points for at least answering and having the honesty to answer.
Right.
And if you stay consistent with the grading system, you will always get a score that is reasonably accurate in terms of what you're doing. So we were running when we first did it, we were running about 71% rating. That was our score. The last year, our satisfaction rate, customer or employee satisfaction rate, was at 83%. It's the highest it's ever been. And you know what it does? Although it was anonymous, but what we actually did is we would end, and we had 98% completion, by the way, of all
That's
our
impressive.
Employees.
Yeah, okay.
That was really incredibly good.
So
what we did is we said, okay, if you're, let's say, the Vancouver branch. So if you're the Vancouver branch, what's your score? How are you as a manager in Vancouver doing? Here's what your people are telling you.
So the employees in the survey, they're rating the overall organization. They're also rating their boss.
Okay. How comfortable would you be going above your supervisor's head if you had a situation that you had to deal with? You know, do you
Interesting.
Feel, you know?
Okay.
So as I said, we had it down
Good
to 26 questions.
Questions.
It became the guiding principle. How satisfied are you with your pay plan? Extremely satisfied? Satisfied? Not satisfied? I'm really pissed. And you know, and every direct report would have a chance to look at what every one of their people are telling them. So for me, it was almost an opportunity to use that as a review with your people as
For sure.
We always have measured our, we identified in all areas what the moments of truth were for our customer standpoint. And if you wouldn't recommend us to a friend, you know what, we failed.
Okay.
But we were at a 90%, 98% customers that would recommend us to a friend.
Customers
would say. But what they would say, they would tell us things that on the survey which were amazing. You know, they would say, well, yeah, okay, I would still recommend you to a friend, but I think there's this and this and this you can
improve.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was really an effective tool, and we became ISO certified a number of years ago, and that was part and parcel of how we've improved our, I think, our level of customer and employee satisfaction.
Jeff, what do you think more companies don't do that or don't take it seriously?
I don't know. They have some false expectations of how things should be, I think. And they, I think most companies, a lot of companies don't actually listen to their customers and really, if you just listen to what they want, you know what, I think everybody could improve their business, you know, dramatically.
Sure.
And what do your employees want?
Yeah.
Some you can give them, some things you can't give them, and you need to explain why you can't give it to them.
Right. No, I just find it amazing that you're right. I think a lot of, or there are some employers who they don't really want to know about their employees or about their customers. They want to go on the assumption everything's good until it becomes so in their face they can't ignore it. Do you remember how many people you had when you started doing employee surveys?
Right now, the company, I think we have just over 600 employees now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and we're in 34 locations or something.
Right.
We're 38 years we've been in business, so I would say we've been doing surveys probably for about half that time.
Okay.
About 18 years ago, 19 years ago we started.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little later on, we got to talking about employee ownership and his decision to extend ownership possibilities to senior managers.
And when you decided to let part of the leadership team buy in, or to let the leadership team down, how did you decide how far down in the organization to go in terms of letting people have equity?
No, that's a good question, because what happened was the private equity firm only wanted two or three shareholders to come in. And I'm going, well, look, you guys, that's, I mean, I've treated all our, and that's, maybe you asked me something earlier, this maybe answers that. I've always treated all our employees like partners. I mean, that's how you get things done.
Yep.
And so I said I wanted to have, there was about 15 people that I wanted to, you know, to offer shares to. And they said, oh, no, no, we can't work with that. We can't work with that. And I go, well, tell me why. So they went through the, you know, the gyrations, and they said, some of these people don't know what it's like to be a partner. They have unrealistic expectations. And I said, you know, I'll kind of buy half of that, but I won't buy all of it, because we've treated these people all along, and we've told them about return on equity and the risk factor, and so they've understood the risks that I've had to go through all along. And so I don't think it's any secret to them what a risk means. So so as it turned out, we ended up offering 7, and then shortly after we did an acquisition, we bought a GM dealership in Whitehorse, mm-hmm. and a large leasing business. And the woman that was running that, mm-hmm. We offered her the same deal as what the others had, because it was fair to her. It was only fair that if she's going to be part of the program, that she should have a chance to do the equity thing as well. So she did. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the relationship between employees and customers, how did you, I mean, you've got the survey, but how else did you make sure that as your organization was getting larger, you were still getting a realistic picture of what was going on with both customers and employees?
We were nominated as one of Canada's best managed companies. And so we had been doing customer satisfaction surveys, we'd be doing employee satisfaction surveys, but the first application went in, we were 51st.
We didn't
make the 50. No! Well, that's what they tell us.
Right? Yeah.
You didn't cut it. Okay, right. Fine. I'm worried about it. So then we wait, a couple of years, I think, went by. And the coaches, by the way, were very good. They said, these are some of the things that you should do. And one of the mm-hmm. things that they said is, between your branches, you do not have enough consistency in your processes. Mm-hmm. Right? You can identify with that. So you need to somehow solidify and standardize what your processes are.
Okay.
Okay, so 2 years later, we go back. We've now become, maybe even 3 years, but anyway, we have we put in the ISO certification program, so we now have a quality manager, we've got a quality statement, we've done all the stuff that ISO is required, right? So mm-hmm. we do all that stuff. And it's starting to work, and we're really getting, some great results. So we apply again, mm-hmm. and we don't make it again. So the coaches come back, and they said, the reason you're 51st again, so yeah, way to go. So you've done all these things, but your earnings aren't there. And I said, you know what, that's good. I'm mm-hmm. I'm all right with that. And I've never been one, there's lots of years, as I said, we've never lost money, but there's years that we've made investments in different things that, mm-hmm. are still required.
Yeah.
Because I usually do things, I always do things for the long term. Mm-hmm. What is this going to do for us long term? How is this going to make us a better company?
Right.
So there was a lot of times where you were reinvesting, you weren't pulling it out in terms of earnings. So anyway, we said, okay, fine. And so then I had the management team is part of the, when the coaches come and tell you, the management team is all there as well. So they go, need more earnings. Okay, well, we'll go out and make some more money. So they went out, and we really increased our profitability. And then we applied the third time, because I said, we're not applying for this thing until we know we can win.
Right.
So the third time we applied, and we won. And it was actually kind of anticlimactic. The program, honestly, I believe, made us a much, much better program, company.
I mean, it's interesting, because when I did Canada's Best Employers for Women, and I met with some of the organizations afterwards that didn't make it in to talk about why.
Yeah.
I was a lot younger then and perhaps too blunt. But one of the things that I struggled with then, and in some ways I struggle with now as well when I'm trying to get companies to consider investing in employees and customer experience improvement, is how do you convince an organization to listen? Like, if they're not, I mean, I guess they just have to be ready to hear it. But I I won't name the company, but it is a very large, well-known company. And when I interviewed people, the stuff they said was really, really negative. And then I went and the senior management refused to believe it. And I had tape recordings. Like, what do you do in a situation like that? You find a different client.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you this, but I'm also not, I'm not so naive as to think that we don't have people in our organization that think that way as well.
Right.
And I know we do, and it just drives me crazy because, coming back to that trust thing, I trust you, but because you're getting me results, you're honest. Do you really have genuine concern for that other employee? Mm-hmm. And I think if you're not treating people equally, you don't have the genuine concern. And I mm-hmm. think you can feel that. Mm-hmm. And I think in some cases, if you have a prejudice, and there are prejudices, as you know, mm-hmm. I probably have my own, but I'm not sure what they are. But
but I'm sure we all have some.
Yeah. So my feeling about that is that, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to get over.
As I said in the intro, this was originally an hour and a half long conversation, which I cut down quite dramatically. So there's a little bit of a jump here, but we moved into talking about the fact that the driving force, even though it's in a very male-dominated industry, has a lot of senior women. And here is Jeff talking about one of them.
Cinnober is a credit collector, and you'd think that a credit collector has to be tough, hard as nails, take no prisoners, pay or I'm going to kill you. You know? And this woman is so soft-spoken, so effective.
Fabulous.
And I have watched her collect money where I'm going, I lost my patience long ago.
Mm.
But she has this long, long patience, and she says, I listen to him until they use up all their excuses, then they have no more excuses, and then I'm done with him. Honestly, she doesn't usually get to that point. There was one point where there was some guy that was, and I happened to walk by her office, and she was talking to this guy. And she said, okay, now, Mr. So-and-so, whatever his name, okay, now listen, stop, she said for a minute. I've listened to you for 15 minutes. And now you're going to listen to me. She did it with a smile. I wouldn't want to owe her money.
Yeah. Your company has grown a lot through acquisition. How do you assess the cultural fit and make the cultural fit work?
The cultural part is, in my opinion, is way harder than the actual financial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes down to what your belief system is and whether you have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. If you've got a fixed mindset and you're not going to move or not going to budge and, you know, this is the way it is, you might as well not even bother or just plan on having that person go.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to offer up any value, in my opinion. You know, those are keys.
So you turn down a deal if you feel the cultural fit's not there.
You know, how much of a commitment. And do you have any passion for the business?
Yeah.
You know, if you as an owner don't have much passion for this business, you're just wasting time.
Yeah.
So
okay. You've been very generous. You've given me a ton of your time here. Well, I appreciate it.
No problem. It's nice to meet you.
You too.
From all the hundreds of company founders and executives that I've talked to over the years, I would say that Jeff's comment that the cultural part is way harder than the financial part is true for pretty well all of them. And if the financial part seems to be your company's biggest challenge, maybe you need to have another look at the people side. The causes of your financial problems could just be lurking there. If you haven't read PeopleShock yet, you might find a lot of useful ideas in there about how to approach that challenge. Speaking of which, I want your opinion. Which do you think I should focus on getting done first? Choice 1, the audiobook version of PeopleShock, or 2, the PeopleShock workbook, which will basically expand on the action steps that I have at the end of each chapter in the book. You can text me your opinion right now at 1-780-249-9262. And remember, that's 1 if you think I should do the audiobook first, or 2 if you think I should do the workbook first. You can also email me your opinions, Tema@frankreactions.com, or tweet them to @TemaFrank, or post on the Frank Reactions Facebook page. While you're doing that, if you can spare a few more seconds, I would love to know what you like best about the show. So again, if you want to text me your feedback and your decision on whether I should do the audiobook or the workbook first, the number to text is 1-780-249-9262. Or just send me an email or any of the other ways to contact me. I do hope you'll give your input. Thanks so much. Talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Bye.